hear me? Good? All right. There's a lot of people sick with various kinds of things. The flu's going around. We know a lot of people with cancer. Tons and tons of sickness is going around. But there's still one thing that we must know, that God is still mighty to save. He's still mighty to heal. He's still mighty to rely on. He's still mighty. That never changes. He is always mighty. So when we look at uncertainty, we can look with certainty on our mighty Savior. Remember that. You have to bear with me on this message a little bit. I've had a pretty chaotic week. My mom, as most of you know, has cancer, and she was in the ER and in and out of the ER for the last 3 days. So stayed out after Sunday. I stayed at the ER with her, spent the night, me and Savannah. They do not have comfortable couches at the Huntington Hospital. Me and Savannah both complain that our backs hurt after. But she is home right now, so that's a blessing for sure. So if you could keep my mom in prayer, as always, I know a lot of you have, and I appreciate that. But like I've said before, if all we did here was read the Word of God, it would have been good that you were here today. If all we did was just read a passage out of God's Word, it would have been good that you've been here today. Good for each and every one of us. Have you ever just sat down and read God's Word and a question just jumps out at you? You're reading God's Word and a question, maybe it's a question about, you know, the context of the Scripture. What's going on here? Maybe it's something the Holy Spirit just gives you. A question. And when I was reading this passage right here, God gave me a question. What is your purpose in life? Do you have purpose in your life this evening? Or do you have an empty purpose? A purpose you do not know. Maybe you're here today seeking that purpose. Or maybe you're a person that had been told what your purpose is by the world. Well, what does the world tell us our purpose is? To get a job, to make a lot of money, save the money, put it in a retirement fund, and then when you're about 65, you can retire and then you can live. Can I tell you this? That I hope that you start living now. That you don't wait till you're 65 to start living or to start pursuing the purpose that God has for you. Can I tell you this? If you're a child of God, God's given you purpose. You have purpose now. God saved you. He put you into the family of God. You're a child. You get to partake in that inheritance this evening. He's given you purpose. You no longer have to say, I have no purpose, because God's given you purpose. See, I want you to ask yourself, I want you to evaluate yourself. Is God in your purpose? Is God anywhere in the picture of the purpose that you have in your life? And I can tell you the purpose for your life is not to get a bunch of stuff. To get a bunch of possessions, because that will never satisfy you. Never. You could have millions, millions, billions of dollars, but can I tell you that even millionaires are lonely? Even billionaires struggle with their purpose in life, because money and possessions will never satisfy that. We see people pursue it their whole life, but they're still unhappy. Unhappy. So turn with me to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 13. It's a parable about a rich fool. And two brothers here, or more, doesn't really say, but let's say where there's two here. Are gonna ask Jesus this question. A question that's still kind of asked today. So starting in verse 13, someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me judge or abider between you?" Let's stop there for a moment. What's the issue? The issue is that who gets dad's money? Who gets dad's possessions? Maybe one brother got more, so the other brother wanted his share. He wanted half. He wanted a quarter more. Who knows? All we know is here there was a fight over who gets dad's money. Who gets mom and dad's money, their possessions. Maybe in this case, all the grain that dad had. All the buildings, all the cattle, all the sheep that dad had. How do we divide this? And Jesus, instead of answering the question straight on, he's going to answer it in a way that I pray that you look at this evening. Is your attitude towards possessions? What is your attitude towards stuff? Stuff. Verse 15. Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in abundance of possessions." Can I tell you this? That when Jesus says to watch out, we better watch out, right? There's multiple places where there's big emphasis on be alert, be on guard. Watch out. Watch out for what? All kinds of greed. All kinds of greed. Why? Because greed will entangle you. It draws people away from family, from God, from friends, from so many different things. We pursue it instead of pursuing God. Pursuing stuff, pursuing things rather than God will always lead you way too far away from God. Greed will send you in the opposite direction from where your purpose is. Your ultimate purpose that God's given you, greed, money, possession, and things will send you in the opposite direction. Greed can consume our lives. It's what it can revolve around. Greed at the center. So Jesus here is going to tell them. I'm glad Jesus sometimes just doesn't say it straight up. He gives his children and his students and some examples, right? He's going to tell them this parable. He's going to give them an example of what greed can do or what it can cause or how it can play out. What's he say? Verse 16. Then he told him this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. There I will store up my surplus grain. I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?'" Let's review the story. There's this man. He's got good fields. He's got lots and lots of grain. He thinks to himself, "If I dig bigger ones, I can store all this grain up. I can retire once I get enough. Then I can live my life. Then what?" It says, "I'll be merry. Then I'll be happy." But here it says, God says, "Well, you fool, tonight your life's demanded." Something that might be a little hard to settle with. We're not promised tomorrow. You're not promised at 65 that you get to live for your purpose. Live for what God's called you to do. This is why we must be alert. We must watch out. We must be ready for whatever God has called us to. Whatever he leads you to, we must be willing to follow him and not let money or the struggle of money hold us down. Because the struggle of money, the worry of money, is much more of an entanglement than just pursuing money. Because you have a lack of it. I want to be clear for 1 minute here. Nowhere in this am I telling you not to save for your retirement. Jesus himself says, doesn't a builder make a plan before he spends any money? It is good for you to save. But I can tell you that if your whole life is surrounded in saving your money, you've lost the purpose that God's given you. Because you can't do what God's called you to do if your life is focused on money, if it's focused on possessions rather than Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our focus. It's what we pursue. He's the one who gives you purpose. Nothing else gives you purpose but God. True purpose. Nothing else but God gives you that. See, this man, this rich, rich man, forgot three things. He forgot, number one, that God is the owner of all. That money, those possessions, the house, the car, those types of things that you have, God owns those. You might not think he owns them, but he owns them. So I pray that you're using the things that God owns for his glory, for God's glory. That car that you might have bought with your money that you worked at, God should own it. He should be the owner of your life, right? We're called servants, right? Can we say today in the church that we're servants for God? I pray that you serve God. You serve God not only with your time, but also your money, your possessions, your car, your house. That's why the Bible talks about hospitality, those types of things. Because anything that God has given you should be used for his glory. Not your own glory, but his glory. Second thing, that money will not make you happy. In fact, we see in a lot of cases it does the opposite. It makes people miserable. Probably one of the number one reasons people get divorced, money, financial problems. A lot of people, unfortunately, commit suicide because they feel like they don't have enough. Money should be one of the last things that we're worried about. Because why? Because God knows what we need. Right? If he cares for the birds, how much more will he care for his children? The children. He'll care for us, and he loves us. Therefore, that should be our last worry. Third thing. He forgot what James chapter 4, verse 13 says. I'm going to turn there. You don't have to, if you want to turn there, you can. James chapter 4, verse 13 says, now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go and do this or that. Or go to that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why do you not even know what will happen tomorrow? What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. Here James says, our life is but a mist. It's here for a little while, and then vanishes. So what should we do? Say, if it is the Lord's will to do this or go there. See, and what this rich man should have done was ask God what he should do with his barns, what he should do with his grain. Maybe God would have said, build bigger ones. You can store more up, feed more of my children. Or maybe you said, take that surplus grain, just give it to the poor. This is why we should ask God, even about the little things. I pray that you ask God what to do with your money, for anything. Me and my wife, we prayed before we got a vehicle. We prayed before we got a house. We prayed for so many different things about money because both of us know that both of our parents struggled with money. It's a big struggle. For people today. It was a big struggle for people back then. Greed has always been a problem. And we still see it a problem today. This is why this verse applies to us so much. That's why he says, watch out. He wasn't just talking to those brothers. He wasn't just talking to his disciples. He was talking to God's children. Watch out. See, so many of us, so many Christians, neglect their time with God in pursuit of money, in pursuit of something that they think will help them in the future. When we look at it in a world view, yes, money makes it look like it will help us in a worldly viewpoint. But can I ask you that when in your pursuit of money and possessions, the abundance of possessions, got it. I lost my train of thought for just a moment there. Yeah. Can I tell you this, that I believe each and every one of you have purpose in your life. Even the non-believer. But I know their purpose. If you're here and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I know what your purpose is. That is to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. But I can't tell you for sure, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, what your purpose is. Only God can show you that. I can tell you some of the purposes that you should pursue, and that is loving and showing your light to people. That's for everyone. But I believe each and every one of you have another purpose that God's given you. What should you do with your life? That's a question that only you can ask. Not yourself, but God. So don't wait till you're 65. Because you just might regret the prior 65 years of your life. Even if you do make it to 65, and I pray that you do, but I hope that you don't regret at 65, I wish I would have started pursuing what God called me to do before. Before. God wants each and every one of us to pursue His will each and every day. See, verse 21 of Luke chapter 12, the very last piece of this. This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich towards God. How are we rich towards God? There's a few things. Number one is have faith. Having faith that God will provide for you. Having faith that God will provide what you need, not what you want, not the abundance of things, but your needs, the things that you need in your life. Having faith. Two, being obedient. Being rich towards God means being obedient towards Him. Meaning reading your word on a regular basis, praying on a regular basis, sharing God's love on a regular basis. All those things, being obedient. When God calls you to do something, be quick to say, I will go. Be ready to run for God. Well, how do you get ready to run for God? By being prepared. Well, how are we prepared? Reading God's word and listening. Praying for guidance. And then going. Putting those things into action. Three, serving God with all the things He's given you. If He's given you new life, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, I pray that you serve Him with your new life. Not your old life, but your new life. If He's given you an abundance of things, praise Him. But then use those to help His children. Use those to help His creation, His people. If He's given you lots of time, use the time to glorify God. There's so many things we can still do as believers. So many things we can do to prepare each and every one of us. Maybe you have an abundance of wisdom. God wants you to use that wisdom to help others. If you have an abundance of knowledge, God wants you to use that knowledge to help others. Use the things God's given you. Use those gifts that God's given you. The spiritual gifts, faith, those types of things, giving, mercy, the list goes on and on. Use those things for God. Because ultimately, God's purpose brings satisfaction. So many people want to be satisfied. And yeah, we're talking about money and possessions this evening, but I can tell you people use drugs and alcohol to satisfy them. They use pornography to satisfy them. They use so many other things rather than God, who promised ultimate satisfaction for each and every one of us. Something that never runs out, but sooner or later that buzz wears off. Sooner or later you close the computer. Sooner or later you pass on. You pass on, and you never know when you're going to pass on. This is why you hear so many people regretting and saying, I wish I would have done more for God. I've heard that twice in my life. People who've been sick and were ready to go. And they both told me that I wish I did more for God. I wish I went to church. So watch out. Matthew, I want to read one more verse here. I can never get enough of reading God's word. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. I pray that if you're going to pursue something, if you're going to pursue treasures, I pray that you pursue the treasures in heaven, the eternal treasures. The treasures that, like this verse says, the moths and vermin and the decay cannot reach. Those treasures are the treasures we pursue. Pursue in a very urgent way. Well, why urgent? Because, like I said, your life may be called tomorrow. So never say to yourself, I'll wait. I'll wait for tomorrow. Too many people say, I'll wait for tomorrow. Maybe you're here, you know someone who doesn't have salvation. Maybe they said, well, until I get my life right. Until I clean up my life, then I'll come to Jesus. They've forgotten this one thing. Jesus cleans up your life. If you struggle with wealth, if you struggle with possessions, the abundance of things, your wants in your life, I can tell you, if you just let God move in your life, those things might not be as important as they once were. Maybe God becomes more important in your life. Our bodies should be used as a vessel for the Holy Spirit to move. To move in a way that's powerful. Did you know that God's still powerful? I always feel like I have to say that because I feel like people's forgotten it. That even when we see a world that looks sick and rotten, God's still as powerful as he was back in the Bible. Because he's not dead. He's alive. If you are a part of the family of God, you serve a living God. A God who conquered the grave. When we sung those songs. Did you feel what was being sung this evening? Did you feel that you have a mighty Savior? Did you feel for just a moment a God that conquers the grave? That even if you're a believer in Christ, you don't actually die, but you have eternal life in heaven. Your spiritual body goes and is with Jesus Christ, your Savior, your wonderful Savior. There is no greater blessing God's ever given you. If all you ever had was Jesus Christ, it's enough. If all you had in your life, if unfortunately you lived on the streets, but you had Jesus Christ, you have more than the millionaire who doesn't have Jesus Christ. Way more. An unmeasurable amount. So I pray that the millionaire, you're not afraid to show him who Jesus Christ is. The billionaire. Or even if you're the opposite, I pray the millionaire as Jesus Christ shows the person on the street who Jesus is. Jesus is for every single one of us, not for the people with abundant things or the lack of. But Jesus Christ died for all, that all might be saved. So I pray that is, if you don't know your purpose, it can start right there. It can start right there. Sharing the love of Jesus Christ. Sharing that ultimate love. So where is your heart tonight? Where is your heart? Are they set on things of the earth or are they set on things above? Heavenly treasures. Is that where your heart is at tonight? So as we stand, I'm going to open the altar for whatever. Whatever God has moved on your life, it might not have anything to do with this. And that is 100% okay. Maybe you want to come down here and pray for someone who's sick. I'm sure they could use it.